Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from December the 29th. This will actually be our last investment review video for the year of 2021. So we'll talk a little bit today about what we see as we move on into 2022. But to get things started, we'll go ahead and take a look at the major index overview as well as the Dolly asset allocation overview. Looking at performance over the past week, we saw many of the indices we follow on the video in positive territory lean to the way to the upside. Was the iShares GSCI Commodity Index up over 3.5%, followed by the NASDAQ 100 up over 3%. In most cases, we saw U.S. equity indices in positive territory. We did see the S&P gain just shy of 3% there at 2.95. From there, the only thing in negative territory was the iShares U.S. Core Bond ETF down 3 basis points and the dollar that DX/Y Spot Index down 30 basis points. Moving on to the chart of the S&P 500, we're actually looking at the very long-term 50-point per box chart here, and we've seen the S&P move up to new all-time highs here at 4,800. It actually completed this triple top break here at 4,750. In addition to the S&P 500 moving to all-time highs, we've seen the Russell 1000 also move to new all-time highs, and as of now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is just one box below its prior high in November, so we'll continue to keep an eye on those U.S. equity charts. On the commodity front, we did see crude oil move back into a positive trend with this week's action. That's really the notable driver within commodities over the past week. This change occurred following Monday's action when we saw crude rally above that $76 level. The final thing we wanted to touch on is the fact that we've seen on the indicators, we've seen a lot of participation returning to many of the indicator universes as many of the bullish percents are returning to X's. In fact, this week we've seen the bullish percent for the optionable OTC and NYSE universes all reverse up. So seeing those broader market universes move back into X's, showing increased participation. And the other notable move on the bullish percent front comes from the bullish percent for the S&P 500, small carrot BPSPX, as it moved above the 60% level following last night's action and moved into bull confirmed status for the first time since moving to bear confirmed in July of this year. So somewhat of a near-term positive, and it's also nice to see that some of these smaller index universe BPs are back above the 50% level. But in addition to the broader market and index BPs reversing up, we've started to see a few more of the offensive sector bullish percents reverse up along with some other additional areas in improving on the indicator front. The last thing we'll talk about is going to be Dolly. Not really many changes occurred over the past week. Asset class level leadership still remains stable. At this point, we did see industrials leap over real estate for that fourth position, but otherwise the rankings remain stable on the sector level. The only notable changes we've seen occur are on the international equity level. We've seen Europe emerging really rally back up to challenge the Europe Developed Group here on the international equity level for that first place position. And we continue to see Africa Middies and Asia Pacific develop jockey for this third and fourth position. But otherwise, leadership continues to remain stable on Dolly as we head into the new year. But to touch more on asset classes, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Joe.
Thanks, David. And, you know, it's been a fairly quiet week market-wise, not a lot of information coming out this week, but we have seen a few changes here on the asset class group scores page. You know, mainly is the S&P 500 index funds group continuing to move up the rankings. It's now second. We have a U.S. core equity percent rank of 99%+ there. So we're seeing an extremely strong core equity market. And a lot of that strength has to do with the top of that index and that large cap kind of growth space. And that's been where a lot of the money's flowing. And when we, you know, start to look at groups that have been falling off over the past several weeks, you know, small cap growth is a big one. We'll focus on that a bit later. But we continue to kind of see this blue sky zone on the asset class group scores page get smaller here. We do see a few here that are close. India, U.S. large cap growth, growth domestic, aggressive growth. So that kind of theme is still pretty strong here, but not above that 4.0 zone. And then financials are still have a score above 4.0, but we do have a negative score direction there. So definitely a group to keep an eye on. Now, when we look at the intermediate bullish percent here, that's fallen, you know, a bit here over the last month, was at 90% back in November, has fallen down to 70%. Now, while the U.S. Domestic equity market remains in pretty good standing here, a lot of the weakness has been attributed to international and global funds. We can look at the average score here, average score history for the S&P 500 Index Funds Group, all equity funds, and then all global and international diversified. And really, you know, that core, high core reading, that S&P 500 Index Funds Group is, you know, continuing to stay strong up high there. But when we look at all equity funds and all global and international diversified, we've kind of seen them trend lower over the last several months, although we have seen a bounce over the last week or so. But the greater trend has been kind of lower here, especially for global and international. We do see that group below that three score threshold, which is really what you want to see if you're going to allocate towards that group. But it is a good sign that it did pass back above that 2.5 score line. We'll see if it can continue higher after some positive action this week. But again, the greater trend has been a bit lower. Now, when we move on to just looking at the size and styles here, looking at the Dolly page, you still see mid-cap growth and small-cap growth leading from a long-term perspective. But like I just mentioned, a lot of the strength recently has been in the large-cap space, predominantly large-cap growth. And we see that when we look at the U.S. styles view here on the asset class group scores page. Again, that S&P 500 Index Funds group, extremely strong, followed by U.S. large-cap growth. But we've seen a lot of dissipating strength from the other size and styles here, especially from the smaller cap side and the smaller cap growth side. So small mid growth have seen some weakness over the last, you know, month or so. And when we go ahead and look at the iShares Russell 2000 Growth ETF, ticker IWO here, has a current score of 2.70, also a negative score direction, so not ideal. But when we look at the chart here, it has been consolidating in this greater range for pretty much the entire year. Really, we don't want to see this break lower to 275. That would break some really notable support, a spread quintuple bottom there. And then there, the positive trend line there resides at 265 right now. So you could see this, you know, start to get pretty ugly here if it does break down and break into a negative trend. Ideally, we would like to see this reverse up. We did see some positive evidence from the bullish percents for some of the smaller cap universes reverse up this past week. So that's definitely a positive. But in the greater picture here, it's still pretty inconclusive in an area where you're going to be at least cautious in investing in right now. Now, looking at factors, one of the big things that we covered last week was MTUM here on the left, breaking a quadruple bottom, moving to 174. That is completely reversed back up today and marking another buy signal. Again, you know, domestic equities this week have kind of floated higher. It's been a good week for momentum names, as well as that large cap growth area has been a leader. Quality as well has had a good week. Really been the strongest and most consistent factor on the year. Fund score 4.7 there. So definitely the strongest factor we've been looking at on a year-to-date basis, and one you're going to be, you know, continue to look to allocate towards. Low volatility here on the left, that's continued higher. And that's been one of the bigger changes and themes that we've seen over the last several weeks, with utilities as well as consumer staples doing well. There's really been a boost for this low volatility group here. Now is a fund score of roughly 3.5, and that'll look to continue to improve, although it is a bit overbought here. So you may want to be cautious on new positions, but nonetheless, it's a positive development there. And then we look at value here. Finally, a chart movement over the last several months. We have a buy signal there at 108. It is matching resistance from May of this year at 108. We'll see if that can continue higher. But again, a positive development. And it's been a fairly good week for domestic equities overall. And with that, I'll go ahead and pass it over to John.
Thanks, Joseph. So looking at the momentum spreads for this week, we had a nice bounce on the domestic side, and that kind of dovetails nicely with what Joseph said with that MTUM momentum fund reversing up and breaking a double top this week. So we talked last week about how that was pulling back and was kind of getting to an area of logical support. We did see that bounce, and we've seen a much better week this week from the high momentum names. On the developed side, that continues to do well, and that recovery continues to take place, which is good to see. And emerging markets, I think, still continues to be real good on the momentum side. The leaders definitely outperforming the laggards there, even though emerging markets is really one of the weaker areas. That high momentum stuff there has actually been okay so far this year. Now, one other thing we wanted to look at today on the high momentum side was just where things are relative to their 200-day moving averages. And we've shown this from time to time, and it's really just a measure of long-term trend and long-term trend strength. So on the left-hand side of the screen, we have a high momentum universe. That's the same domestic universe that we're using to calculate the spread. Roughly 80% of the names in that universe are still trading above their own 200-day moving average. So we haven't seen a lot of trend deterioration out of the high momentum area. Where we've seen it has really been in the low momentum area. So in the low 20s, 20, 25% of the names only in the low momentum universe are trading above their own 200-day moving average, or another way to say that, are trading in positive trends. So we're seeing kind of a big difference there between the leaders and the laggards and how those things are performing on an absolute trend basis. Now, moving over to the U.S. dollar, there hasn't been any movement in the chart over the last week. We still are seeing this dollar trend higher right now, consolidating at these higher levels. The trend looks to be moving higher. We would expect that into 2022. That's going to be a headwind for certain areas that are that do better in a falling dollar environment, such as international securities, some commodities, and things like that. To talk more about currencies and specifically what's going on in the crypto space, we'll bring Sarah on.
Thanks, John. So kicking it off today with crypto, it was overall, I mean, for the bigger coins, it was a quieter week. We did see Bitcoin fall a little over 1.65%, as you can see here on your screen. Ethereum pulled back a little further, over 4.5%. And as that crypto index itself was down 2.62%. So kind of continuing that theme of weakness that we've seen. Last week was the first kind of positive week we had seen in a while. But overall, as you can see, over the last 30 and 60 day periods, really, we've seen a pullback overall in cryptos. We did see some double digit performance over the last week from Uniswap, one of the smaller coins, up over 24%. But again, overall, factoring in about 60% Bitcoin and 30% Ethereum to that NASDAQ crypto index. And then, you know, the rest allocated amongst these six other coins, the index itself was down 2.62%. We didn't see any sort of change on the chart of Bitcoin that remains on a pullback. We didn't see any change on the chart of Ethereum that remains on a sell signal where it is setting up for a potential shakeout pattern. Again, no real changes across the board. Looking at the 50-point chart of that NASDAQ crypto index, we've seen a reversal down into O's yesterday, and today we've seen another O printed at the 3,000 level. So it looks like there's, you know, we have good support there at 2,950. So we'll continue to watch this to see if we're able to find support, if we break it, or if we're even able to, you know, bounce off and move higher, potentially flipping that trend back to positive. But kicking it off today with the communication services sector, consumer services ranks here down at ninth position still. The sector itself was up a little over 2% so far over the last week, where it's up 16.82% so far this year. The chart of XLC, that Communication Services Select Spider Fund that we like to use as a proxy, we haven't seen any real change here. We've seen two X's were added at 79, but this remains on consecutive sell signals. From here, a move to 83 or higher would move the trend back to a buy signal for the first time since October. The fund score has strengthened a little bit, 1.91, but still has that pretty strong negative score direction of 3.03, as we've seen the score deteriorate over the last 6 months. One positive is we did see weekly momentum flip positive, and we are right back in the middle of the 10-week trading band with a reading of 1% oversold. You can see right there back, so really neither overbought nor oversold. Within the space, just some names that jumped out at me today, IPG, the Interpublic Group of Companies, the 4 for 5er, we saw this pullback in October, throughout November, this month, now we've seen it reverse back up into X's, and now it sits just one box from matching its all-time high at 30, and two boxes from another consecutive buy signal there at 40. Again, weekly momentum has flipped positive, remained relatively in neutral territory in terms of whether bought or sold. So this is an actionable name here. Facebook, or Meta Platform, excuse me, formerly known as Facebook, we saw this move back into a positive trend earlier this month. Now has trades on two consecutive buy signals. We added an X yesterday at 352. So you can see now we're up against this resistance level. So a move to 356 would definitely be a positive sign from here. And then you'll see we have overhead resistance back up here at 384, the all-time high for Facebook. So a move to 388 would mark a new all-time high. But similar to XLC, we see weekly momentum has flipped positive. Again, 22% overbought, so relatively near the middle of that 10-week trading band. And what, like we said last week, it has now upticked back to a 4 for 5 or so strong attribute name. Live Nation is another name that we mentioned last week's call. This has now given two consecutive buy signals. It was the best performing, one of the best performing communication services stocks over the last week. Resistance there at 126, but this is a 5 for 5 that, similar to the rest of the names we've covered, recent flip to weekly momentum and positive monthly momentum, and remains relatively in neutral trading territory. Moving on to cyclicals. Cyclicals remain in that third position where, you know, they'd fallen below technology and then below financials over the last few weeks. Cyclicals were the best performing sector over the last week, with XLY gaining over 4%, 4.29% to be exact. We remain in this column of X's. We did add a few X's over the last week, but we do remain below that support level from November at 215. So from here, a move to 220 would mark the seventh consecutive buy signal and a new all-time high for XLY. We had that strong 5.52 fund score with a 1.58 score direction. We haven't seen weekly momentum flip positive just yet, but monthly momentum has been positive for 3 months. And we're about right in the middle of that 10-week trading band, so at 11% overbought. So this is an actionable ETF here if you were looking for just broader cyclicals exposure. Within the sector, I thought this was another ETF, the Invesco Dynamic Leisure and Entertainment ETF, symbol PEJ. We discussed this last week, but what is notable here is that yesterday we saw this fund move back into a positive trend. So as a result, the fund score is now 3.44. It remains with that negative score direction. Just over the last 6 months, we have seen this the score move lower, but it is strengthening here at this point. We do have a bit of resistance to break through here from October and November, but overall, you know, we've seen this move in a relatively range-bound way this year, which we've discussed. You know, this breakthrough of the trend line is a positive sign. Weekly momentum just flipped positive, and similar to the other stocks and funds we've discussed, we're right in the middle of that trading band. So this is a positive sign for, you know, those reopening names within the, like the beach names, so like the bookings, entertainment, hotels, casinos, things like that. Another stock, Domino's Pizza, broke a quadruple top at 552 before moving higher to 560, where this trades on three consecutive buy signals and sits at all-time highs. 61% overbought, so not too heavily overbought here, but 4 for 5 ranks second out of 26 names in the restaurant sector stock matrix, and just had a flip to positive weekly momentum. This has maintained a market RS buy signal since March of 2010. So this is one of those long-term leaders that, again, with an overbought oversold reading of 61%, would be considered actionable at this point. And then one other, Hilton. Hilton yesterday was able to break above its resistance level at 154, moved to 156, where it's now trading at all-time highs. Hilton's a 5 for 5, similar to the other names, again, of weekly momentum and monthly momentum flips. We've seen this maintain a long-term market RS buy signal since January of 2018, despite the volatility we've seen within the space. But again, ranks high in that leisure sector with, again, five attributes, and is up over 39% so far the year to date. So Hilton here is actionable with an overbought oversold reading of 41%. Demand is in control, and here, again, would be considered an actionable name if looking for just individual cyclicals exposure. And Tesla was one of the best performing stocks over the last week, up 15%, returned to that buy signal before moving higher to 1,104. So we do have some significant resistance to break through, but a return to that buy signal is definitely a positive sign here. We've seen 3 months of positive monthly momentum. It's a 4 for 5 that's traded in that positive trend since October of 2019. So this one, again, in the middle of the 10-week trading band, making new positions welcome here. You've got support at 896 with current price movement. And then finally, moving into the utility sector, utilities remains in the 10th position here. You know, it's trailing the communication services sector now by four signals. So we'll continue to watch that play out. Utilities were also up over the last week, up 1.82%. So now they're up a little over 12% so far this year. XLU, we saw that chart return to give a consecutive buy signal there at 71 over the last few weeks. And we're still sitting up at that all-time high that was printed back pre-COVID in February of 2020. So we'll continue to monitor this to see if it is able to break through that 72 level to mark a new all-time high. But we've seen monthly momentum flip positive. Weekly momentum has been positive for 10 weeks. And now we see the score 3.37, where it has a positive score direction of 1.27. So just looking at the asset class group scores, the utilities group remains in that green zone now with an average score of 3.47. This is one of the highest recordings we've seen since November of 2020. Again, remains in the basement of the rankings, but we have seen just some individual names here really strengthen and just some individual stock ideas free today. CenterPoint Energy being one of them, not necessarily at all-time highs and does have two attributes in its favor, but is on consecutive buy signals and a really strong uptrend and has that 2.47% yield. And then finally, looking at Exelon Corporation, symbol EXC, 2-for-5er actually printed not a new all-time high, but a new multi-year high, at 56. We can see up here that the all-time high was printed back in 92 or at 92 in 2008. So a bunch of resistance moved there in terms of, you know, matching those all-time highs, but we can see that yesterday hit 55, today 56. So again, another name if you were looking for exposure, 44% overbought. Again, two attributes in its favor, but it is in a strong uptrend on consecutive buy signals and has that 2.79% yield. So overall, we continue to see strength from cyclicals. Communication services, you know, remains kind of near the bottom of the ranking. So it's something we want to be cautious with here, but there definitely are individual stock ideas that we can look to play. And then utilities remains in the basement, but there are some areas of possibility or potential here, but we'll continue to see if the group is able to gain some strength relative to the other broad sectors in Dolly. But with that, I will pass it on to Ian for technology.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. So the broader technology space has seen some improvement over the course of the past week. It was in the top three performing sectors over the course of the past week, and looking at the broad spider sector fund representatives. And we saw that carry over into the point and figure chart of the technology spider fund, ticker XLK, that broke a quadruple top with a movement on Monday of this week to mark a new all-time high there at 176 on its default chart. We saw this fund pull back, give its first sell signal in a strong uptrend. And as we've mentioned continuously in the past, for technology and for really kind of any other security, the first sell signal, strong uptrend, typically not all that indicative of broader weakness. We saw that carry over to return to a buy signal with movement this week. Still is a very strong 5.88 near perfect fund score and a positive 1.47 score direction. The consolidation we've seen throughout the course of December has led to a more normalized trading band. So you had this broad technology fund now only at a weekly overbought over sold percentage of 49%, which is much, much lower than the 90% plus levels that we were at the end of November. So definitely seeing some further participation to the upside from the broader technology space. And that has led the bullish percent for technology ticker BPEC Tech to reverse back higher and mark a level of 38%, significantly better than the 22% level that we got to earlier this month. It's going to put the bullish percent for tech, which measures percentage of stocks in the technology sector on point and figure buy signal, as we've continued to touch on throughout the past several weeks. This is going to move it into bull confirm status. So seeing that return to the upside, that more demand, more stocks moving to buy signals, definitely an overall positive thing. The large cap names have really been dominating the strength picture within technology throughout the course of the past several weeks. Within those names that have shown strength of those subsectors, semiconductors, equipment, hardware, those areas continue to show improvement. They pulled back some with the technology kind of pulled back in the middle of the month, have shown some return to the upside over the course of the past several weeks, many of those areas maintaining favorable technical attribute ratings. So definitely going to be a lot of potential ideas that you can look toward in there. We have seen some of the less favorable subsectors show some upside improvement, though. So those areas like software, data processing, those areas have started to show some return to the upside, moving back into positive trends, moving back into buy signals, which is at the end of the day an overall healthy sign for the sector as a whole, and part of the reason why you've seen some of this improvement on the participation indicators. Looking at a few of those names, we've seen Palantir Palo Alto Networks, ticker PANW. Software space as a whole has been generally one of the weaker areas within technology throughout the past or throughout the fourth quarter of this year and much of the year as a whole. This name has been one of the more favorable areas. We saw some consolidation throughout the past several weeks, and that was ended with a spread triple top break at 544 with movement last week, and then the stock continued to rise to a new all-time high there at 568 over the past few days. So one of the stronger areas within the software space, and we've seen that kind of consolidation normalize. The trading band could be a potential place to look toward if we see that software space continue to improve. Another couple stocks that have shown a lot of weakness throughout the past several months but are showing a return to upside participation are some of the data processing stocks, MasterCard and Visa. Looking first toward MasterCard, we've seen MasterCard now give three consecutive buy signals over the course of the past few weeks here. It's reversed back to a positive trend in the middle of this month and is now a favorable 3-for-5 attribute name, back in the top half of that finance sector matrix too. So kind of in the tech, finance, fintech space, but seeing this return to the upside is certainly a positive sign for some of those areas that have been out of favor. Visa, kind of the sister there to MasterCard, has shown upside participation as well, but not as significant from a technical perspective. The stock did move back to a buy signal earlier this month. It's still a 2-for-5 from an attribute perspective, but you notice it's bumping right up against that trend line there at 220. It's got less than a couple bucks to go with movement intraday as of today. So see if that stock can push further through to the upside, get up in the 220, 224 range to move that stock back into an overall positive trend. So other than that, not too much going on. Again, story more the same from a broader strength perspective. Definitely going to be some more actionable names you can look toward, though, with the normalization and recent improvement. With that, I'll go ahead and throw things on over to Joseph.
Thanks, Ian. And as David mentioned earlier, it was a pretty quiet week in terms of sector ranking changes. Financials remained second in the Dolly rankings, with healthcare again ranking last there. Now, when we look at the sectors here on the asset class group scores page, healthcare has moved up a bit. It's still on the bottom, you know, a place where you're probably going to underweight. But it did have a score below 2.5 that has changed over the last week. It has increased, and a lot of the weakness within the healthcare space has been in the biotech space. Definitely a place where you're going to avoid any broad exposure right now. Just a really poor area over the last, you know, pretty much this whole year. Now, when we look at XLF here, the Financial Select Spider Fund, as a fund score 4.30, we do see a negative score direction here. And that's something I mentioned earlier. When we looked at financials, still an average group score above 4.0, but a negative score direction. So something you're going to want to keep an eye on here, especially with the way rates have acted. The 10-year yield is up a bit today, but we're still, you know, fairly off the highs that we saw just a few months ago. And we know that, you know, rates are a pretty important aspect to this group, particularly within the banking subsector. So that's going to be an area to watch out for. You don't want to see any more prolonged weakness here, especially with rates remaining low. Now, a stock you can look out for, this has actually been one of my favorites this whole year, is going to be Ameriprise, ticker AMP. It's a 5-for-5, really strong attribute here. This week, it reversed back up and was able to mark break a triple top there at 308. And after that pullback and now back on a buy signal, it's actionable within the trading band. So we have a weekly rebought or sold of 17%. So a really strong stock you could look at within the financial sector, kind of moving a bit away from the banks just because of the interest rate situation. But this is a good finance company you could definitely look at here with a lot of relative strength. Moving over to healthcare, XLV here, the Broad Healthcare Select Spider Fund. It's a fund score of 4.80 and a positive score direction. It's continued higher, broke another double top there at 138 and continued higher to 140. Again, the healthcare space has been pretty interesting this year. A lot of the weakness has been in the smaller cap space as well as in the biotech space. Many of the large cap, you know, kind of stalwarts have done pretty well this year, or at least held up better than the rest of the area. But one of the stocks you can definitely look at here is going to be West Pharmaceuticals, ticker WST. It's a 5-for-5. It's been a really strong stock this entire year. We see it trading on multiple consecutive buy signals. It recently broke a triple top there at 464, and now it's testing its all-time high at 472. A break to 480 would mark a new all-time high. And it's also actionable within its trading band with a weekly overbought oversold reading of 44%. So while the broad healthcare sector may not be the most ideal place, there are some good shopping list items in the large cap healthcare space that you could look out for. And with that, I'll go ahead and pass it over to Will.
Great. Thanks, Joseph. And kicking it off with industrials here, it was a pretty strong week for the sector. We saw good participation, which led to a handful of constructive movements on our shorter term indicators. The broad sector bullish percent chart added an X at 44%, along with subgroups like heavy machinery and transports. Specifically, land transports is coming out of oversold territory here on its bullish percent chart. So this remains an attractive area in the near term. Further confirmation for all of these readings would come with a move above 50%. Meanwhile, I'll say the positive trend chart for industrials is still holding at 50%. This remains an important indicator to watch for those, especially with a longer term view. And we'd like to see this reverse back up into X's before more actively adding to positions broadly in the space here. But on a macro level, the sector remains in equal weight territory and investors can maintain their current exposure here. Moving over to staples, with the upbeat market sentiment over the past week, we saw the traditionally defensive staples group lag the other broader sectors. It remains in the bottom half of our macro kind of technical rankings. However, as mentioned before, the near-term story is pretty hopeful here. The sector bullish percent chart is within 1% of reversing up into X's, down from a chart level of 36%, which is its lowest level since April of 2020. The soft drink space remains a pocket of strength within the broader sector, and there's notable price leadership from Pepsi there, ticker PEP in particular. So the near-term technical picture remains attractive for staples, I would say, and it's still improving, shown on the asset class group scores page versus all other groups here, sorted by score direction. Your consumer non-cyclicals is among the top. And so we do believe there are some viable opportunities for investors looking to lower their portfolio sensitivity to systematic risks in the next couple of weeks ahead, just keeping that at bay, given that it is in the bottom half of our ranking still. So being selective there. And on a similar note, real estate remains technically attractive. It's sustaining an equal weight rank in our macro groupings and continues to also show near-term improvement. We spot the bullish percent here within 1% of reversing back up into X's as well. But differently than staples, note that this has not dipped below 50% since the September 20 sell-off, which demonstrates resilience in our view, given breadth elsewhere in the market was and is still in some places quite poor. So REITs are still leading with explicit strength from retail, storage, and multifamily housing names. So we would remain buyers of pullbacks in this space. Also, like staples, real estate offers an avenue to investors that is less sensitive to current headlines. So for this reason, we would reiterate our preferences for high attribute names in these areas, at least in the near term. And again, here we see those macro groups, all groups sorted by that score direction, real estate in the top bucket there as well, showing that near-term improvement. So much of the same story over the past week. So I'm going to conclude and give it to Jamie for an update on materials.
Not a lot of development to report on in materials over the last week. The sector remains ranked seventh in DALI. The fund score of the Select Spider Fund, ticker XLB, did tick up slightly over the last week from around 3.53 to its current level of 3.67. And we also saw it give a second consecutive buy signal, completing a bullish triangle at $90 in yesterday's trading, which matches the all-time high that it reached earlier this year. So no major changes within the relative strength rankings or picture for materials. But some potential signs of improvement here with the breakout at 90. We would have more confirmation with a move past that all-time high at 91. For those who may be looking to add some individual stock exposure in this space, one that I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago is Sherwin-Williams, ticker SHW, ranked 17 out of 73 names in the building sector matrix. Perfect 5 for 5, so strong buy in our system. And the thing really to note here is that it has been on a market RS buy signal since 2001. You can see here on the chart. So one of the longest lived RS buy signals in our system. And you can kind of see here just on the chart, throughout the market turbulence that we've seen over the last few months, Sherwin-Williams just they continuing higher, giving multiple consecutive buy signals. Historically has been, a reliable stock capable of delivering strong performance in many different market environments. Moving on to energy, again, not too much to report on within energy. Crude oil has improved over the last week, but energy remains sixth in Dolly. And the fund score for the Select Fighter Fund, ticker XLE, actually ticked down slightly, but remains favorable around 4.3. You can see here remains on multiple sell signals, only two boxes away from returning to a buy signal. But at this point, no major changes over the last week, despite, crude oil rebounding and returning to a positive trend, which we'll discuss a bit later. So that's all I have for materials and energy, and I will pass it over to Ian to cover international equities.
Great. Thank you, Jamie. So the international equity space has seen relatively muted movement over the course of the past week. And looking toward the non-U.S. view on the asset class group scores, we can see that the India group has shown a little bit of score improvement, actually, over the course of the past week. Still south of that 4.0 threshold, still showing short score declines over the course of the past month. But it's bumping right up against that 4.0 area. You can take a look at the broader iShares MSCI India ETF, ticker INDA, which initiated a shakeout pattern with movement last week, formed a double top over the past couple months, reversed lower to give a sell signal there back in the month of November, and then reversed back up new column back to a current chart level of 45.50 to initiate that shakeout pattern. Could be a potential place to continue to monitor that initial support level would come in at 43.50. Fund score of this broader India representative continues needs to maintain favorable positioning. Then looking at some of the other areas back on the asset class group scores page, you can see that Europe is creeping back towards that 3.0 score threshold. We've seen some score improvement from some of the broader Europe ETFs, one of those being the Vanguard FTSE Europe ETF, ticker VGK. Fund reversed back up into a column of X's, out of oversold territory, held support of 65, and sits at a current chart level of 68. So return to a buy signal with movement to 71, which would be a quadruple top break, potential place to continue to keep an eye out there for a favorable 3.24 fund score. And we just saw flip to positive weekly momentum there for VGK as well. Some of the reason why we've seen some more recent improvement from Europe, a lot of the broader European representatives rank 13 of the broader Europe representatives actually rank in the top half of our country index relative strength ranking. We can see that the stocks within the broader Europe fund has overweight exposure towards healthcare, industrials, and financials, whereas healthcare tends to be weighted a little bit lower within the broader EFA and the broader non-U.S. space, as we can see with these this breakdown here. So that overweight exposure towards healthcare certainly paid off there for that broader Europe representative, as well as some exposure toward the ASML as another name that's shown some pretty significant recent improvement, a semiconductor equipment manufacturing company there out of the Netherlands. So some individual names that you could potentially look towards there in Europe, or that broader Europe representative could be a place to continue to monitor as we move into next year. With that, not too many other changes going on in the relative strength picture within international equities. We'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
Thanks, Ian. As has been the case for the last several weeks now, the up and down movement in longer-term U.S. Treasury yields continues. The U.S. Treasury 10-year yield index, which you can see here, has risen over the last week, not yet reflected on this chart, but actually touching 1.55% today, which will return it to a buy signal, although, as you can see, remains kind of in the middle of the range it has been over the last 2 to 3 months. kind of between 1.35 and 1.7, you know, where it bottomed out in November and kind of where it topped out in October. So, you know, at this point, I would say that, you know, a return to a buy signal here, probably not too meaningful. You know, a continued move above that 1.675, 1.7 range would be a more meaningful development. But at this time, you know, looks to just be a continuation of the kind of up and down movement that we've seen over the last month or so. It has, however, you know, affected the relative strength rankings within the asset class group scores. We can see here the U.S. government long group has fallen below the 3.0 score threshold, as has the floating rate group. Meanwhile, convertible bonds, you know, which had been an area of strength for most of the last 2 years and had fallen down to around a 2.8 average group score, has once again risen above the 3.0 level as, you know, the equity markets have rallied over the last week or so. So, you know, positive news for those who may have been, you know, holding convertible bonds based on the strength that we've seen throughout the last year or so. You know, and kind of reiterating, I think, a point that we discussed last week, you know, we saw the score dip below 3.0, not necessarily the point where you kind of want to panic and exit, as, you know, we've kind of seen it rebound here. You know, some minor deterioration in score, not necessarily something to panic about. So moving on to commodities, this is the continuous commodity matrix, which shows the futures contracts for various commodities. And we can see up at the top five out of six spots are currently occupied by softs and agriculture, with heating oil being the lone exception. You know, softs and agriculture, an area that we don't tend to discuss too much, as it can be kind of a challenging area to gain exposure to outside of futures, especially, you know, a single commodity in the space. You know, very, very challenging, for instance, to gain exposure to just coffee. That being said, if you want to gain exposure to the broader agriculture space, you can take a look at the Invesco DB Agriculture Fund, ticker DBA, has a favorable 3.23 fund score, positive 1.66 score direction. And we can see here on the chart has given two consecutive buy signals and taking out, you know, some multi-year resistance over the last couple of months. So again, a challenging area to gain exposure to for single commodities, but, you know, we do have ETF products that kind of cover the entire space if it's an area that you might be looking to gain exposure to. I mentioned that heating oil was kind of the top-ranked non-soft and agricultural representative in the matrix, and we can see here on the chart that it broke a spread triple top last week and has continued higher, and now just three boxes away from returning back to a positive overall trend. So if you are looking for exposure or have exposure to the energy complex or heating oil specifically, definitely a positive development here. And something to keep an eye on. Meanwhile, you know, the biggest portion of the kind of energy commodity complex, crude oil, has improved over the last week, giving a second consecutive buy signal on Monday and returning to a positive overall trend, which obviously good news for energy equities, although we didn't see that reflected in the fund score of XLE yet. You know, obviously continued improvement in crude oil prices. We would expect that to eventually translate into you know, further strengthening within the energy equity space. Finally, moving on, we saw gold return to a buy signal yesterday when it broke a double top at 1820. You know, again, not too notable here, as you can see, remains in a negative overall trend and kind of within the same range that it's been in over the last month or two. You know, so if you are holding gold or looking to add exposure, something to potentially keep an eye on. Although at this point, not too notable of a breakout, as it remains kind of well within the same range that it has been and in a negative overall trend. So that's all I have for commodities and fixed income, and I will pass it over to John to wrap this up.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So overall, the major asset allocation picture and sector picture hasn't changed much, but we are seeing a lot of bounce out of some of these areas that have pulled back quite a bit earlier in the month during the initial new variant kind of panic sell-off that we had. But that a lot of that stuff seems to be bouncing back. Things are going well, and we would expect higher equity prices kind of going into 2022. So we just wanted to thank everyone for going through all of these rundowns with us this year, and we'll be back in first week of 2022 to go over what we're seeing to start off the new year.